is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is a joy to be with you today as we worship the Lord. You know, I had a series in mind today that we were going to begin, but I have been so concerned about the Holy Bible recently, and some things have been coming to my attention that I feel it's just vital that you and I, my good friends here at Bible Home Church and around the world, that we talk about those things. Because if we don't defend the Bible, my friends, I believe that millions of souls are going to be lost. There's really no greater campaign, no greater war than to fight in the service of our Lord and defend His Word. And believe me, the enemy has been on the attack against God's Word for many, many years, especially in the last century. And with the 21st century now having dawned, I can see that we're in a pitched battle for truth. And ever so often, we need to look at where we're at and develop our strategy and our tactics. And of course, we always need to call on the Lord for help and guidance and wisdom as we do. But I wanted to have just a personal chat with you, and I feel that's the way it is. That's the thing I love about Bible Home Church, you know, because I feel that you're my friend. I've always been impressed in the Bible where Jesus told his disciples that they were his friends. He called them friends. And I'm convinced that that's what we, you and I, need to consider and behave toward each other in our conduct, that we are friends. You know, there's a reason why Christians call each other brother and sister. We are in the same family. One time I was in a bookstore and I saw a book. It had the strangest name. It was entitled, "Don't Call Me Brother, Brother." Don't call me brother, brother. I was fascinated about that title. You know, titles have a great impact on people. Sometimes just the title alone makes you want to pick up a book and see what it's all about. And I read the book from cover to cover just standing there. It wasn't that I was so cheap I didn't want to pay for it. It was that I found the contents interesting, and I found them very, very sad. It was a gentleman that had thought he had found Christ. Maybe he did find Christ. And then he wanted to serve the Lord through a Christian ministry, and he went to one of the top name televangelists in the world and got a job working full-time there. Well, he was just overjoyed about that, absolutely thrilled out of his mind that not only was he a baby Christian, this man said, but he could now work for this big-name Christian minister and televangelist, spreading what he thought would be the gospel around the world. Well, it wasn't long till he could see that the televangelist's lifestyle didn't match up with the way he appeared to be. Well, of course, Christ tells us don't judge on appearances, but we should be able to. And anyway, through a process of several years working at this ministry, the man was totally disillusioned. And he got so fed up and so sick in his heart of the things that he saw going on in that ministry and the way they smile before the public, but the sinning and almost criminal behavior behind the curtains, that he said he got so fed up. He said, I got tired of hearing it when people called me brother. So he wrote a book and he says, "Don't call me brother, brother." anymore. Well, I read the book, and, you know, I almost was compelled to write the writer of that book and beg him not to judge Christians, because he said he returned from the where he was and went back to his home state. And it was almost as if he didn't have any more faith. He lost his faith because of the behavior of men and women. And I wanted to tell him, listen, don't let that destroy your faith. The Bible itself says, let every man be a liar, but God is true. And this should make us strive more and more. You know, people want to make excuses as to why they're not worshiping God or why they're not in church. And they say, well, I don't want to go to church because there are just so many hypocrites there. And I want to tell them, well, when you get to hell after you die, it's going to be so much better down there, isn't it? You're going to have a wonderful brand of people down there, aren't you? You know, if the devil has seated hypocrites within the Christian church, there still is a remnant, a seed of God in that church. But what's it going to be like in hell? Think about that, my friend. And not only that, I want to tell these people who say such things, I want to ask them, are you a hypocrite? And if they said, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite, I said, well then, obey God, worship God, follow His commandments, and you go to church and be a witness to those people against their hypocritical behavior. You know, it's not enough to say the world is so evil, the world is so wicked, look about us. But what are you doing to make the world a place that God could be proud of? You know, there's an old saying, you know, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? Well, in any case, we do need to fight for the Word of God to keep it pure. I want to talk to you a little bit about that and give you some actual things that are going on. But, of course, we always have some beautiful music. Beautiful music. And I love the old Southern gospel. I don't know why they call it Southern, because a lot of these guys were from up north. I don't know why they didn't call it Northern gospel. I don't know. There's probably a history. I haven't read my history of gospel music, possibly. But the Blackwood Brothers Quartet were a great quartet, and they still have a lot of albums out. And this song is about Jesus Christ rising, and I think you're going to enjoy it. When we come back, we're going to have that little chat now between you and me and about God's Word. You know, that song is a really touching song, my friends, because, boy, if you've ever had a loved one who knew Jesus and they went on and left this life, and I mean here on earth, what assurance we have as Christians that they're going to rise and be with the Lord Jesus forever. And that song means a lot to me. I might just play that at next week's worship service. You know, a lot of people, Wanda says, no, you shouldn't, you know, have your favorites and play them too often, you know, and or run them too often. But, you know, there are some songs that I love, gospel songs. I play it 12 times in a row. You know, when I'm traveling by car, I put that CD in or that tape, bled over and over. And I suspect if Wanda was with me, she'd get fed up, say, couldn't you play something else? Are you like that? Let me know if you're like that. I want to send me a letter or a card, and I'll show it to one and say, see, I'm not the only one. Well, I did want to talk to you today about the Bible. You know, the Bible itself says that it's pure. It's like it's refined in the fire. And the Bible, of course, is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides, and boy, it can save. The Bible, in a way, can kill, too, because it sets forth the rule in John chapter 3 that only through Jesus Christ can a person be born again and receive the kingdom of God. And that's a narrow way. But the Bible also makes plain that if you reject Jesus, you have condemned yourself. So the Bible doesn't kill. The Bible is life. But it sets forth those rules by which people themselves choose their own death. And that's a sad thing. The Bible tells us, too, in the Old Testament, that all those who hate God love death. I don't want anybody to hate God, do you? Because then they will love death. One of the things that has struck me throughout my life is the great attack on the veracity and the truth and wisdom of the Bible by those who claim to be Christians, but are in fact apostates and dangerous, misleading so-called authorities. Many of them even believe themselves to be theologians. Some teach at seminaries and Bible schools and universities in the field of religion, and they fancy themselves to be more intelligent than God. They believe they can find errors in God's Word. And they will even tell you that there is no Bible version that is fully correct, but all have errors, inconsistencies, omissions, additions that should not be there, etc. Yes, these men and women think that they know more than God. Now, God says in His Word that He will preserve His Word. He will keep it pure. I assume, in fact, I am convinced, persuaded, that God has the power to do that. I certainly would not want to challenge God. I would not want to go before the throne of God and say, Lord, I don't think that You have the power to preserve Your Word. I believe You're a liar. Can you imagine having the audacity, the arrogance, and may I add, the stupidity to call God a liar? And that is a very dangerous thing. I tell you, I don't even like people who kid about God. I have seen shows, I only see about 1 minute of them, where people are making fun of God in some way. And I am afraid for those people because I'm superstitious. Well, if you wish to say so. But I believe it's because I believe in the supernatural power of God. I believe that God deserves maximum respect. If the Bible tells us to honor our mother and father, that our life may be long, imagine what will happen to you if you do not honor your father in heaven. Well, Let me tell you about some of the things that are going on that, well, I have to tell you, they're making me sick. The other night, I discussed a news clipping that I had that pretty well turned me off, I'll tell you, and I want to ask you what you think about it. This is from the London, England Telegraph. It's one of the major newspapers overseas, and it says here that erotic pictures are going to bring the Bible back into fashion, this company thinks. Let me just read it to you, and you just consider what's going on here. A glossy magazine-style version of the Old Testament featuring leading models pictured by the world's leading fashion photographers will be unveiled later this year. Claudia Schiffer and Marcus Schinkenberg are the models expected to portray Eve and Adam in a project designed to attract young people who rarely read the Bible. Gustav Willem Hellstedt, one of the entrepreneurs behind this idea, stated, quote, "Forget those old sketches in the Bible. Instead of a boring drawing of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we may well have a couple walking down a New York street kissing." So what we're going to see then is people in modern clothes or possibly no clothes, because they admit that they intend to insert erotic pictures to bring the Bible back into fashion. Now, Michael Geiring, another person involved in bringing this to pass, said that their group had realized last year, and I'm reading right now from the press release, had realized last year that most editions of the Old Testament had changed little since the year 1454 when the first Gutenberg Bible was printed. We had the idea to make the Bible more contemporary, he said. Well, interestingly enough, the venture has elicited the interest of Virgin Publishing, a major publisher in Great Britain. Virgin Publishing. Now, you may want to ask yourself what the Church of England, once a fine Bible-believing church, what did their leading authorities have to say about it? Well, one authority, David Phillips with the Church of England, said he doesn't really see a problem with this. After all, the power of God is in the gospel, not in any images. The Bishop of Durham, the Right Reverend Michael Turnbull, welcomed the idea. Anything that enlivens people's interest in what a good read the Bible is good, as long as it's done with taste. Well, that's what they say. Hugh Hefner, when he put out Playboy magazine, said, "See, this isn't just smut and pornography. We have naked models, and we do it with taste." Oh, yeah. Well, then here's another one. That's just one. Now we have another news clipping of yet another company that's putting out a new form of the Bible. Let me read from a news clipping I've got on this entitled, "New Bible Definitely Not for Prudes." From London, England, it says, "Prudes might blush, but the church has welcomed Europe's newest Bible." I don't even want to tell you what it says here, but basically sex relations and all. "This is a Bible for, by, and about today's couples. A Bible for you," says the publisher, Hodder and Staunton. "In this Bible is a forthright discussion of female orgasm, male sexual fantasies, and sex as food for the soul." Well, I'm not going to go on about this. It says that the Bible will take advantage of lust and, well, it goes on to say, and they want to strengthen, they said, the sex life of Christians. Well, forgive me for being a prude, but I think I'll pass this up and let God take care of my sex life. You know, my friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe this is blasphemy. I believe both of these Bibles are blasphemy. We've gone from the first cautious so-called attempt to pollute God's Word by adding words, subtracting words, and that has, of course, become a torrent, a flood in today's market, and a clamor to make more and more money off of God's Word. We've gone from just changing the words. Now we're going to have just total sexual lust and a removal of all of inhibitions, even with the addition of erotic pictures added to the Bible. I remember Madeline Murray O'Hare saying that she thought the Bible was a great sex book. And the American Atheist Foundation took all the sexy parts out of the Bible. I suppose the story of what they thought was sexy, Delilah and David and Samson and David and Delilah and Samson and all of those stories in the Bible put those in. These people are sick. But they're not just mentally sick. They are spiritually diseased. They have a cancer of the heart and of the soul. And I worry about these people. Now, at first, I get angry. But then my anger actually subsides. And I begin to feel sorry for these people, and then that subsides. And then I begin to worry for them. I am fearful for these people. I really am. You say, now come on, Tex, you'd really like to see these people rot in hell for what they're doing to God's Word. You're wrong. I do not want to see these people perish in hell. But they will. They will be there. And I think they will have a special fate that will be one of the worst punishments of anyone who goes to hell. Well, here's another item that's come to my attention. It's a poster somebody sent me from the United Church of Christ denomination. And it's put out by one of their groups called the United Church of Christ Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Concerns. The poster says, "We are proud to sponsor Virginia Ramey Mollenkott for a one-day celebration of diversity and community." They're going to meet at the North Congregational United Church of Christ, they say, in Columbus, Ohio. Now, who is Virginia Ramey Mollenkott? She just happens to be a woman who was on the translation team of the New International Version. She helped to write and put into so-called modern English to choose the words for the Old Testament. Now, the NIV is the number one selling Bible today version in Christian bookstores. I believe the King James is still the bestseller around the world. But in Christian bookstores, the New International Version, published by Zondervan, is number one. And Mollenkott, who is a very much a lesbian activist, is the person who helped to choose the words. Now, this poster says, "This is a unique opportunity for spiritual growth, hope, and renewed energy as we promote a larger church community where all are welcome, accepted, affirmed, and equal." Miss Mollenkott, it says here, is a theologian of great sensitivity who speaks of an inclusive God and the inclusion of gays and lesbians in the church. My friends, Jesus said, "Narrow is the way to salvation, and few there are that find their way into it. Few there are that enter the kingdom of heaven. Broad is the way to destruction." But these people, these evil people, this Mollenkott first pollutes the holy word of God, and now she's going with this Church of Christ denomination, United Church of Christ now. That's not the other Church of Christ, but the United Church of Christ. Notice they say they promote a larger church community where all are welcome and included, including gays, of course. Here again, this is the new Bible for the 21st century. A Bible full of lust, full of sexual iniquity. And my friends, more than ever, as it says in Jude, we must contend for the faith, for that truth that was once delivered to the saints and is forever preserved and cannot change, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This has been Pastor Tex Morris. Thank you for listening in today to Bible Home Church. We're going to start a new series next week, and of course we're going to have more beautiful music. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.